afternoon. How we doing? This is like the last session, or is there another? One more. You can make it. You make it through both. Welcome to TypeScript and Visual Studio Code. I am Rachel Appel. If you go to rachelappel.com, you can find out all the information you need to know about me, anything technical that you have, Microsoft stuff, slides, code, blah, blah, blah. So I'm pretty easily Googleable too. I'm not that exciting, so I'm not going to find anything good. Today, we'll talk about TypeScript, something that is more exciting. So let's do an overview, see what it's about, see what the cool features are in TypeScript. We'll take a look at VS Code. You may have noticed this little product that popped up from Microsoft and is now everybody's favorite. A little bit about types, because TypeScript, configuration, tasks, and writing code object models in TypeScript. So the overview. So TypeScript is a superset of JavaScript. So apparently JavaScript's become really popular. Maybe you've noticed this over the last few years, as every framework on the planet kind of explains, right? Every day there's a new JavaScript framework, right, out there. And JavaScript is kind of almost imploding under its own weight at some point. Become very popular, and it was really meant to work with Netscape in 1995. Guess what? Netscape isn't here anymore, and neither is 1995. It's 2016. So the DOM that JavaScript was meant to work with became very big and unruly. Yeah, we ruined it. Right? Developers are why we can't have nice things. And then we blame JavaScript, right? So people use it because it's a web technology. It's really the client-side web technology, right? And now it's actually become the server-side technology as well, right? So Nodists will tell you. So TypeScript came along to solve a few problems. One is the excruciating pain that it is waiting for the W3C to get the standards finalized and out the door to us, right? We've been waiting for like a decade now, and still, right, working on it, we'll get in it. To be fair, I'd rather wait than have, half-assed standards go out the door, because we've seen that before. It doesn't end well. And then somebody else builds more standards, because that will help. That new standard will be the real standard. So TypeScript came along for a couple reasons. One of them is to allow JavaScript developers to be able to write JavaScript in an object-oriented way that's very much like other languages, dare I say normal languages, as far as object orientation is concerned. JavaScript is actually a fantastic language for a lot of things. Object orientation is not its strong suit. Right. You can do it, but the syntax, quite frankly, is kind of ugly. Nobody likes ugly code, right? Because nobody wants to maintain ugly code, right? And very many people believe that prototype is ugly, because it kind of is. So we could, especially if you come from the land of C sharp, right? You look at the way JavaScript does it, and you scratch your head and go, what's wrong with those people? That's basically it, right? Those hippies on the web, what are they doing? So TypeScript is here for this. Another thing it does is we like types. Oh yeah, all day long I will complain about that compiler yelling at me about this, yelling at me about that. So then I go to JavaScript where it's not compiled, it's parsed and it's dynamic. And then I get mad because it doesn't check anything for me there and lets me do anything I want with the types. Because the grass was greener until you stepped over the fence. So TypeScript helps with all of these things, right? It helps as a stopgap measure to ECMAScript 6 one day we'll have, and gives us some object orientation types and lots of other cool things that help us out in the meantime. Another big point of TypeScript was the enterprise notion of applications. Overnight, all of a sudden, people aren't just using JavaScript for front-end web development. They're doing the full stack. Right? It's on the client, it's on the server. Somehow they're squishing it in the middle where code doesn't even run. JavaScript is everywhere. And then trying, which is not bad in and of itself, but trying to manage it on a large team does not gel well with, say, Visual Studio, C Sharp, ASP.NET, and anything Microsoft, right? So we needed a way to manage enterprise code, and TypeScript helps us do that as well. So lots of cool features, so we have types, got our types, we like our types. Well, but we want a nullable type too, so now we have nullables. Somebody from JavaScript said, oh, look, those F sharp people look like they know what they're doing. So now we have discriminated union types, right, for the functional inside of us. Optionals, private constructors, this, never types. It's my kind of type, just never. Read-only property. So all that good stuff that you get in other languages with a compiler that end up yelling at you whenever you try to use any of these features, now we get it in TypeScript, and you can be yelled at in JavaScript as well by the TypeScript compiler. So if we want to use it in Visual Studio Code, first of all, you really don't need anything. You can use Notepad. If you're in my earlier talk, you may have noticed that Notepad does not have IntelliSense or color coding still. I'm waiting on that one. I somehow don't think it's going to happen. So we do have TypeScript support in Visual Studio and VS Code, pretty much first-class support as well. And then, of course, the obligatory super long URL that points to how to use TypeScript in VS Code. So when you forget everything I said in here and go out the door, there was a link in the slides. So if you find them, you can get to that. So what we do in TypeScript or VS Code, let's just take a look. You open up VS Code. It's comparatively kind of boring. When you look at Visual Studio, that first time a new developer opens Visual Studio, and then immediately they're paralyzed. What do I do? All the stuff. Here in TypeScript, or in Visual Studio Code, if you're writing TypeScript or not, it's pretty low-key, pretty slim. Right? It's a very basic editor. I like that kind of stuff, though. I like things when they're small, direct, to the point, instead of all this extra stuff all around it. Sometimes you need this stuff, but if I don't, I don't want it. So I like small libraries. So here in Visual Studio Code, get your standard issue menus that you would expect. File, edit, view, go, help, right, with standard commands in it. You have a small explorer and a couple of menu items along the sidebar. So one of the big things is that we do have Git integration right out of code without having to go through TFS or any of that weird stuff. So that's kind of nice. A little built-in debugger, right? So I can walk through JavaScript, I can walk through TypeScript, either or. Some extensions, and I have a couple of extensions like, oh, let's update the C-sharp one in the TypeScript talk. Why not? Right, so extensions will pop up as you have them and need to update them or not. Right? It's a nice, easy way to get some packages and some extras for VS Code. So there's a lot of good extensions out there. And then, of course, back to the Explorer. Generally in TypeScript, we don't do the whole .sln, .proj, and all that extra stuff. Right? That's for a big honkin' Visual Studio project. For little code projects, all I need to do is point it at a folder. It'll take in that whole folder and consider that my workspace. So what a lot of other editors do out there, right, that are not necessarily, Visual Studio can actually do that too. But code kind of does that first, right? That's the forward way of looking at things. So I will find some demos in here. And under dev might be a good place. So I'll open up something. So when I go ahead and open it up, I has code. So you see folders, files, all the kind of stuff you might expect in a little toolbar called Explorer. And it, you notice with TypeScript, you'll see .ts files for TypeScript, but you'll see companion.js and .js.map files as well that go along with it that the compiler creates. So you have access to all of these different files. Also, JSON, right? We like JSON, great for configuration. So we use that in VS Code. As you might expect, tabs and all that kind of navigation. So I like it. It's nice. It's lightweight. You don't need to have a giant project for everything. However, you can still do that. You can have giant projects and totally write the code in VS Code. Right? And it gives us a nice, lightweight editor. Where this comes from, there's an online editor. We still actually have it if you are into Azure. It was called Monaco, and that's where VS Code came from. So it's basically this, but in the Azure portal. Now it's also available outside of the Azure portal. Of course, the Azure portal is probably changing while we speak, so try to find it in the next 5 minutes. You'll have that. So if I want to use TypeScript in Visual Studio Code, let me go back and what I'll do is just close this. Since I'm working with folders and whatnot, I can just say close this folder. And there we go, kind of resets it back to it's not looking at anything in particular, just a blank. So if I wanted to work with a few things in VS Code, I could do the magic Control-Shift-P. And that brings up basically a little task runner of sorts, where here I can start typing things that I want to do. So if I wanted to, you know, set up some build tasks, I can go in here and say, go ahead, run that. Or anything, as you see, a lot of editing, all kind of good stuff, debugging, so I could tell it to start debugging, to stop debugging, so I can actually issue debugging commands here. Extensions, I could do files, so you can actually do, it's tiny little command line editor right within Visual Studio Code. So that's kind of nice to have this. All right, so just Control Shift P and start typing. If you're a fan of Quick Launch in Visual Studio, I love that thing, right? Just because Quick Launch, it doesn't get any better than that, unless it's like super fast launch. But that doesn't roll off the tongue like Quick Launch. So here, Control Shift P is your friend. So what we would do with that is set up configurations. I'll do that in a minute. We can set up tasks in tsconfig. So the thing that happens with code, it doesn't assume you want to use any particular extension or plugin. So if I want to use, say, build tasks, I can tell it build, pick out a task. Oh, stop that. You're lying. All right, how about... Are we still not going to do it? Okay. There we go. Configure task. Oh, right. Well, I forgot. I actually have to open that other file. This is what happens when you're up all day after flying from the States over here. Let's do that again. So I'll open my folder. Now it'll. I already did it for this. We'll do it again. That's okay. And it looks like a lot of nothing because I already actually did it. If I open this up in a blank folder somewhere, we can actually see it happening. Let's just go in a dev again. You always got to call it stuff or temp, right? That's what developers do. Right. So there, if I go into stuff, now I have a folder. You can stop crying. Yeah, you know, it is a Microsoft product. There we go. So it says, hey, but you don't have a task runner. You're trying to run a task, a build, but you don't have a task runner. Correct. So I will configure that. Well, which one? Oh, look at the toys. So these are all the cool things, right? We're all into Grunt and Gulp now, right? And MS Build is so last couple of years. NPM, right? Everybody's using that. Or I could just go with, hey, I'll just go with TypeScript's built-in tsconfig, or any of the others. So you get a lot of choice, right? MS build, that's so cute. All right, so I'll come in here and do this, right? So I pick the task, that particular task runner for this project. And you see it just creates a nice little tasks.json for me. And then if I don't like it, I can just delete it and do it again, or I can modify this. It's just nice that this code editor helped me do that. The other thing you could do is if I pick one of the others, it might give me the tsconfig. So they're just files to tell it, you know, use this or use that. If I picked Grunt or Gulp, it would download any packages needed and then set up configuration for those. So if you're using it, and they're client-side, basically script managers, right? So we could set them up that way, all right? And then we have everything ready. So anything that you come across that you want to do in VS Code and it doesn't appear to have it, you don't necessarily have to run to the extensions. You could just go to the quick launch, the Control Shift P, start typing. If you don't have it, it'll prompt you, and then you can get that integrated right into VS. Right? So task runners are good for that kind of thing. For types, there's a history of types in TypeScript and how these kind of came about. The first thing, the first iteration was just taking some TS files and making some types in them. Now the types, because it is not compiled, it doesn't have a framework like .NET because it's just a dynamic language, right? It's JavaScript. So there's no types in JavaScript. So you have two options to work with this. You can extend JavaScript native parsers. That's not happening. Right, because you'd need to get all the browsers on board, all the operating systems. You'd have to produce standards. It would just be horrible, and it wouldn't work. So what we can do is set up files in JavaScript that describe the types. Right, so basically metadata or DTS files, right, which is definitions and type files. So the first wave of these was called definitely typed. And I think you can go to definitelytyped.net or org or something like that. It's been a while since I had to go there. And you can see a list of all these files. So if I had my own little types, I can create a little type file and post it up there for the whole world to use. So it did that. And then it evolved a little into these TSDs and a little typings registry. And then later, we actually have these at types and sync await got thrown in there at some point. So depending on if you're, I'm using all TypeScript 2 in here, but if you have an older version of TypeScript, you might actually see some of those older type files out there. Doesn't really matter how you get the types, though, as long as you get them. All right, so, and we'll get them. With TypeScript, I guess the technical comp sci term is the transpiler. I kind of don't care. It takes my code. It makes JavaScript for me. Right, so it takes my JavaScript code and it makes more JavaScript for me. It's basically what's happening. So when it does that, because it's compiling from that language to that same language, it's not a compiler, it's a transpiler. And there's a whole big handbook at typescriptlang.org about the compiler options. The compiler is tsc.exe. So if you run out in your operating system and find this, you don't need any of these tools. You can do Notepad, save it, and run TSC at the command line. Knock yourself out. It probably literally if you're going to do that. Right. Or you're probably drinking a lot if you do that. So we have these nice tools to help. There's that balance between like too much pointing and clicking and Notepad. I find Visual Studio Code is in that nice Goldilocks zone. For projects in VS Code, generally, if we're working with TypeScript, it's going to be an individual file scope. However, you can explicitly scope where code can see other code, and you could do that in the tsconfig.json file. And if I bring up code again, and I'll go back and open up that other folder with real code in it. And by real code, I mean demo code. Then here you can see there is a tsconfig, and I have the compiler options. These options, if you've poked around with TypeScript before, you might have noticed you can set these in Visual Studio as well in the tools options. And then you drill in there and you could find TypeScript as a language and set the language options. So things that you could see in here, I think this one is hilarious. Allow JavaScript. It is JavaScript. I'm not even bringing that up in the meeting. So that'll just go around in circles, right? Source map is another one. When you see those map files, so map files help us debug. Debuggers, such as the F12 tools in IE or Chrome, if I run those can just parse and debug JavaScript, no problem. But when I'm doing TypeScript and those tools see a class keyword or an extends keyword, they don't know what that is, right? Because they're parsing for real JavaScript. So when it comes to TypeScript, we need a little translator for that. So that's what the map files are. So you'll see in any of these map files as we go along, right, depends on anything from a lot of garbage to, or what looks like a lot of garbage, to JavaScript. That actually is kind of a pain in the right if you actually want to do it the right way. And your TypeScript usually looks a lot better. All right, often shorter as well. So the map files are there to help debuggers and tools convert and translate what is JavaScript and what is TypeScript. With those build tasks, so tsconfig gives us compiler options for TypeScript, and it works with VS Code. But the build tasks, so when I do Control-Shift-B, if I want to kick off some stuff or do something, I can do that too. And that's in tasks.json. I've broken out here the version for the tasks, the command, input arguments if you have any. So if we look at the one in here, it's tasks.json. Here I could see, you know, what version I'm using, where, in this case, the TypeScript compiler is. Right, so I have that set up. And you know, if I'm doing anything, I'm not using any arguments in particular, but there's a little bit more set up for us. So anytime I go ahead and build, it knows that I am specifically telling it to run that tsc.exe. I may have 10 of these, when we get to version 10, on my system. And then I could point it to whichever one I want and use that version, that's fine. As well as other options. There's tons and tons of options that for you set up tasks for VS Code to use. Other settings are, here's launch. If I'm going to do debugging, whenever I set up debugging, it sets up this launch.json. So you could see in here, even with some of the names and comments, in launch against Chrome, or here Chrome with source maps, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, of course, the super important stuff, the font, things. Actually, if you can't see the code, it's kind of hard to write, so I guess it is important. So the font size, I make it really big. Woo, that's fun when you do that. Change it and right away. So it works, right? Except my mouse wheel doesn't like to do that. If you want to know more about, so I'm just showing you some basic build tasks that I've set up with the just standard issue VS Code. But if you have build tools, you may have a CI server or other stuff. You can set all of that up in these JSON files and tell it, hey, anytime that I save, go ahead and compile and send that off to CI, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all detailed in this link. So right at code.visualstudio.com. That might even change over to docs.microsoft.com, but it will redirect. You'll be fine. Then you can set up build tasks. So if you use, say, MS Build or a third-party product that you paid for CI or whatever, you can set those up too. Again, I'm just using the one from VS Code. There's a little small one, but And as you see, there's grunt and gulp and all that. But if you are using the big stuff, then, of course, you can then set those up in those. Now, if we look at some of the code, I have just a real simple bank account. All right, so I will just reveal that in Explorer. And I don't even need a web server. I'm just load it up as a file just for this demo, basically. All right, so just my name, my amount. I'm going to open a checking account. Oh, look it, I have $100. All right, so a little tiny JavaScript running. All right, so we'll pretend it's on a web server and all that good stuff. That'll just get in the way here. So here I have my HTML page. So of course you get all your good editing here. And when I write TypeScript, I might write TS code, but then it compiles to JS. So that end product is JS. So when we do script tags, we want to point them at the JS. And remember, IE and Chrome and Firefox, they don't speak TypeScript. They only speak JavaScript. So we need to send the JavaScript to them. And if they are to do any debugging, they need a map as well. So here I have pointed to my JS files. All right, then I can go ahead and have just a regular old HTML page. There should really be no surprises in here for anybody, right? Just HTML. And I have this kind of loosely broken out with models and views, not really using any kind of pattern, just breaking out the directories a bit. And here, if I'm going to actually interact with those DOM elements, yeah, a little bit of formatting would be nice. Oh, that's the JS. All right, let's do the, there we go, TypeScript. First thing I could do is, because this is my bank account, I called it my bank account UI TypeScript file, so this just interacts with that HTML page. You can set it up however you like. This is just for the demo. So in here, because I want to use the code from bank account TS, which in here, we'll see that there's an actual class and all that good OOP stuff, then I could go ahead and make that reference. So here I just do the reference path, and I point to the TS file. Now remember, tsc.exe will be compiling this, so it reads TypeScript, so we're good. We can put a TS in here with the TS file. Then I could start making variables, and in this case, a good old var, whatever you're going to call it, and then colon and the type. And here you see I even have a namespace, right? So if I go and I look at that actual bank account, so they, in .NET, we use the word namespace. In TypeScript, we got to swim upstream a little, use the word module. It creates basically a namespace, right? And if we look at the output in JavaScript, it's just using lots of parentheses to block off code and create some closures, if you're familiar with that concept in JavaScript. You can see here I have a class. Classes are now first class. And I'm using the export keyword, means that it's public. And I can actually export this class out of this file. Lots of other languages use this particular term as well, right? Export. I have a constructor. Constructor keyword might give that one away. So here I set up the balance and the account type. Then here you can see a read-only, right? Because I only have a get. So I have getters and setters. So in this case, I can do a public account type. So that would be checking or savings or whatever kind of bank account I have. And I just return it with my return keyword. And if you remember back to that use JavaScript flag in the settings file, so here I have a mix of things between this file is mostly TypeScript, but if I go back to this one, you'll see a little bit of both. All right, so we see some UI JavaScript stuff in there as well. But here we get getters and setters, so you can do properties with the property syntax. So the syntax is very similar to C Sharp in many ways, or to other compiled languages, depending on where you come from. So here I can have my, you know, any kind of access modifiers, so protected, public, all that good stuff. And then all your types, right? So string, there's a whole bunch of types, string and int and all the numerics that you would expect, dates, even null types and all that good stuff. So we do have types. It's all about the types. So you can see here as well, I have, in this case, get and set for the account holder name, right? Both a string. And probably do better with variable naming here. That was kind of short. The balance, we'll return the balance. Just a method in this case. Getter. Just a getter method, right? Charging a fee, because that's what banks do, right? Interest rates. So just by looking at this code, it's pretty clear what it does, right? It's clean code. And if I were to do this in JavaScript, well, be prepared for an eyesore in a second. All right, withdraw, all the stuff you'd expect in a bank, but without bankers, all right? Open account. So here you can see I can even use the this keyword to reference what amounts to that current instance of the bank account. Here I can also inherit and do that with the extends. So a savings account, an investment account, extends this very generic bank account, checking account. And as you see, I can have constructors in here. I can override, and so I have my, or add as well. So you can do all the good OOP stuff like polymorphism and encapsulation and all those principles. And then again, the code is similar enough to C Sharp that you should be able to easily just read through it and see what's going on. So it should be a lot easier to maintain. When we get over to the JavaScript that it creates, here's where the fun begins. Because look at right here. Like, we're done. I'm going back to TypeScript. Right? I said something about ugly code before. This is the poster boy for ugly code right here. All right, granted, the compiler generated it, but nonetheless, if you had to write this yourself, it would be just slightly less ugly, but it would still be pretty darn ugly, right? Then here, if I wanted to make the module, right, so I need to make a variable out of that, and then lots of parentheses that we lose track of, and then somewhere along the line, the parser's going to yell. Well, if the compiler makes it for you, it's not going to yell. And, of course, the pattern of wrapping it up into a nice little function. And good old stuff like this, everybody's favorite part of JavaScript, the prototyping, right? Either you see the word prototype in here, and it's just kind of annoying, or this object.define property. Yes, I see that's a property. And also, the word get told me it was a property in the TypeScript code, or set. Things like this didn't necessarily need to do that, or I don't want to have to write that. So, okay, I've wrote enough this code myself. I do have one or two friends at Microsoft that say, but you know how to write JavaScript and you do it well, you know the patterns, why do you like TypeScript? I'm like, have you seen this? When you actually implement the patterns correctly, look at you're making yourself insane. Right? You're doing the code the right way, but you're putting yourself in the nut house doing it. And it's not so bad when you're the one writing the code. It is so bad when you're the one maintaining the code. Like, if I'm just writing this code and I'm going to quit next week, totally cool. Yeah, right. But if somebody else wrote this code and I'm coming on board, yeah, not so happy about that. So that's kind of the crux of the issue here. So as you can see, it's all done, in the proper way, capital P. At least they didn't squish it all together, so it's completely unreadable. But you would have what amounts to a lot more code to write and maintain in JavaScript than in TypeScript. And it's usually not in a vacuum. It's usually sitting there with C Sharp. Or there's a couple people doing VB. That's so cute. Yeah, VB and TypeScript. That's interesting partners there. And then somewhere along the line, the mappings come out. So here the transpiler puts the fact that we do need to map to something if we indeed want to run the debugger and do other fun things. You can either put this in yourself somewhere or just let the compiler do it. And then what that produces is that js.map, and that's where you see all this goofy stuff, right? Also, that I don't want to have to deal with either. I don't want to make my own maps. That's just ridiculous. So then I write code and then write other code to tell products how to use that code. No, I'll let TypeScript do it. We're good. So with TypeScript, we could do things like creating an object model. You can use all of, basically, if you're using like a CRUD app or something, it's perfect, right? Jives really well with your C# code. One of the problems that we have in development is having a whole bunch of .js files. When we load those JS files up, we load them into an HTML page at some point, right, when it goes to the client. C# doesn't do that. C# is a lot easier to maintain inside of Visual Studio. You have your project structure, and if you're using something like MVC, the MVC pattern and the way Visual Studio helps you set it up should kind of lend itself to at least not being terribly dysfunctional with those patterns. Right? It gives you a little bit of continuity and consistency. And consistency is a very important thing for developers. Then you have the JavaScript files that you also need to incorporate in there. And because we use that script tag and reference them, then you have all kind of issues that crop up. It would be fine if we put everything in one giant JavaScript file. Did she just say that? No, because I'm lying. It wouldn't be fine, right? That would be awful to maintain. But the problem we have is if we don't do that without TypeScript, you have to write extra code to watch variables that might step over each other because of global namespace pollution. So you have to use those good patterns or you're going to have these little problems creep up, especially in an enterprise app where you have multiple people working on these files. So if we load 10 little JavaScript files into one HTML page, and 10 developers worked on each of those files, you never know what you're going to get, especially when everybody names their variables X. There's going to be a clash. Right? And are you going to win? Well, who gets to check in last, I guess. Right? So that's an issue. So some things that TypeScript helps us with is, one, it does those patterns for us. It uses patterns like jQuery, right, the wrapper object and things like that to create the namespaces and modules so that you don't have these clashes. So X is X in the bank account namespace versus, the customer satisfaction namespace or something like that, right? So we don't have those clashes. C#, that's easy. We just namespace, we're done. JavaScript, yeah. Throw everything in global. That's how JavaScript behaves. You have to fight against that when we're working with JavaScript. TypeScript just lends itself to helping you do that. For one, it goes ahead and creates all those modules for you, and when it's not, you're actually using the module keyword to set stuff up. All right, so you say, hey, I want my bank of TypeScript module. And then I go to a class, and it will actually, wrap that up. And what essentially, in JavaScript, it's all just a block of data, whether it's a namespace, a module, a function. Everything is just a function, and to it, it's a block of data. It doesn't even see it as a function, just block of crap. What JavaScript sees any block of code or any variable is just stuff. So we're just kind of labeling it for our own use as a class or a module. But it's just a wrapped up function is really what it is. So TypeScript does all that for us. And again, you can invest the time to do this yourself. And you can be that person who, you know, I know how to do patterns and I can write this nice code, but not everybody does. Not everyone on your team. Not everybody may be experienced in JavaScript. And people do make mistakes. Developers even make mistakes, I have found out over the years. Yeah, I work at Microsoft. I know this. They taught me that one. So here, in the UI part of things, here I could use the good old window onload, because I just like the old-fashioned stuff once in a while. But here, get element by ID. If 10 minutes in JavaScript land and you're using this one. That's the first thing you do. So I can mix and match. I don't have to just use TypeScript. You can use like what you would consider classic JavaScript. So you will especially for DOM manipulation. And so I have my deposit button, the withdraw button. So here I'm just grabbing some of these buttons and trapping them as variables. Then I go ahead and I'm just wiring them up with event listeners. And yeah, I'm breaking this out. I could chain this and compress it a little bit, but it's for the demo, so the code is clearer to read. All right, so here I attach them to various methods. So in this case, my open button calls the open account button click. And again, where I do a bunch of get elements by IDs. Yeah, so I'm sure somebody came in here going, I can't wait to not ever have to use that get element by ID again. Well, sorry about that. You won't get rid of that. But here, I still need to get those DOM elements. But once I do, I have cool types I can apply to them. This is so long overdue. I had a party when this came out. Because that's the kind of parties I have. HTML input element. Where have you been all of my life? I love you. So it is an input. So we know the input tag. It could be text. It could be hidden. It could be a phone, email, all those cool HTML5 types. Well, now I say HTML input element. Go get it. Right? And then here, the text box or the drop down, anything. It'll get it and then puts it in that variable. So here I also have an HTML select element. So targeted types for DOM elements. This really, I wish this was around decades ago. This makes it so much easier than grabbing stuff out of the DOM and then going, let's play roulette and hope that this works, that it picks up the type for me. So if I pick up, say, a select, that dropdown for the account type, I can see which one was selected. That's pretty easy. That's nice. I like that code. That's pretty. As opposed to some of the standard issue JavaScript that you might have. And if we didn't select anything, a little error message, and then other calls to other stuff. All right, so you can see regular functions as well. All right, so like deposit button, withdraw. So all using the types. A couple more with HTML spans. So you name that type of element, you can get to that type of element and type it. Right. And of course, you get all the standard types too, such as number and date and all that stuff, but they're not as fun as the cool HTML ones, right? Which ends up having a date or a time in it or a number anyway. It's a cool type. Now the boring string. Yay. You can even initialize it. Right, to an empty string. Of course, other cool things, right? Switching, all the standard issue language constructs that you might expect. But I can also do things like make enums. Right? So I can either go after types, but I can also have done this in an enum if I wanted to. In this case, I'm just checking to see, you know, switching off this account type, which is just a local variable, by the string. But you can actually use the enum statement if I want, because it's a little drop down with just three items in it. That would be perfectly acceptable for a small app like this. But in this case, I'm just grabbing the string here and then creating a new instance of that particular type. So anything from the specialized types to that more generic bank account type. So you can use your new keyword just to new up an object, just like in C#, actually looking like that at that. If you were to look quickly, it might just look like C#, right? So sometimes it's hard to tell. It's all the semicolons. And then, of course, just regular old functions as well. So I like that you get to kind of make this more consistent with your C# code. If I'm on, say, Node or something, I do like TypeScript for the object orientation of it, but we don't need it for the DOM stuff, particularly in that respect. But it does give us access to the types and things, which I like. And you can use it on the server as well. So if you're into Azure and you're doing server-side stuff, you should see some utilities there in the portal. It'll change while you're using it, but it's still there. It'll be there somewhere. Right. And I actually think that's, let me see, we looked at all our configurations, kind of just to run the app. So as you see, if I pick things out of the, oops, there we go, refresh. All right, so all those DOM, get element by ID, that put it into a select or an input, right? So they're just grabbing these particular elements out of here. So you see there's types of string, types of number. This is looking at just the string in the dropdown, but creating a new instance of one of the accounts, right? And of course that all just runs that code, and then I could see that respit up on the screen there. So kind of nice code, I like it. It gives us that, again, that continuity with our other code. So until TypeScript came out, having JavaScript and C#, you can do it. That's not really a problem, but you do get those little bumps and grinds, and you do get a little bit of friction, even amongst just your own personal self, right? Just your own personal workflow very often for a lot of people. The context switch that comes between going between languages can be an issue, right? That's often as a matter of fact, it's enough of an issue that in ASP.NET, the Razor syntax brought out tag helpers to make it easier to flow through MVC views. So it's the same principle here. It's much easier if it's more consistent with the language that you're using. So if we're doing things in an OOP kind of way, then we can manage our files in that way too. So I can just have these files managed a lot like I would the C# ones, and the TypeScript compiler will take care of that. Then of course we only have to worry ourselves about just making sure it gets into the HTML file, right? You'll have to, you know, do the proper order if you do indeed need to do that for your scenario. Things like that will be your, it's not really an issue, but it will be something you may still have to do. Right? Other than that, should be a lot easier to be able to manage this stuff. And then remember, JavaScript just gets very unwieldy as it gets bigger. Other languages can too, but not quite to the same degree. And it's just because of the way that it loads it into HTML, the global namespace pollution, and things like that that I already talked about. So those things often kind of fight you as you're trying to work. And if it fights you as an individual, that's also amplified when you get into a team. No matter how many standards and how great your team is together, that just simply creates friction and then just amplifies it. So TypeScript helps to alleviate some of that. I don't think we'll be able to alleviate all of it ever, right? Or we wouldn't have jobs, first of all. Right? That's when the robots come and start programming for us, I think. It would be cool if they did it and you just got paid. That would be awesome. So. Ooh, there we go. I'll just write a bot in TypeScript and then have it work for me as a slave bot. There we go. So if you just go to typescriptlang.org, like basically everything's there. Normally I do this in the, there's a whole word script in there. There we go. So all your documentation is there or not. There it goes. So it's a worldwide thing. Conference Wi-Fi is slower than other Wi-Fi. like every conference in the world ever. Here we go. All the cool stuff here, there's a little playground even here. So I like the playground. I mean, Visual Studio Code is a small download and is kind of like your own local playground, but you can just toss up some stuff here and just run it in the browser. It's kind of nice. Oh, also, while we're in VS Code, lint, how about, oh, I don't have these installed on here. Linting and hinting is awesome. You want to do this. TypeScript is actually pretty good with this in and of itself. All right, the TypeScript compiler checks out stuff, but if you use JS Lint or JS Hint, if you use JS Lint, you just like to torture yourself, quite frankly. If you use JS Hint, well, you like to torture yourself just slightly less than if it's JS Hint, JS Lint. But the linters are tools that take JavaScript or a language that's not compiled, a language that is parsed, and then it runs through it and scrubs the lint out. Basically, it looks for all the wrong things that you did in your code, kind of like a compiler, right? It looks for that, and then it says, hey, you forgot to do this. You forgot to do that. You did not put this in a namespace. You let that variable in the global namespace. Do you want to do that? So it basically goes through and gives you a bunch of errors and warnings, and then you can fix them or ignore them. Those integrate with VS Code as well. So you can go in and add them either through Control-Shift-P or through one of the extensions. So if you look through the extensions playground, you should be able to see lots of hinters and linters and stuff like that as well, as well as debugging. For debugging too, you get all the good stuff, the watch, the variables, all that. All right, so I could come in here and put in breakpoints. And then what I could do is actually tell it, do I want to launch? And depending on how you set it up, when you do Control-Shift-P, if you type in debug for the first time for this particular folder, it'll ask you, well, how do you want to do your debugging? Do you want to use, say, the whole Visual Studio debugger, run and hide? Or do you want to just attach to Chrome? Hey, that's a good idea. Or IE or something else. So I could say, hey, why don't I do that? I'll just attach to Chrome, and then I can go ahead and start running. It should bring up a little instance of Chrome, and now you actually see localhost in here, right? And, oh yeah, I don't actually have localhost running. But if I had a little server in here running, that would be fine. I can then start debugging and all that good stuff, as opposed to just opening it in a file. So you would be more apt to do this when you're actually developing. Don't really need to do that for the, oh, timed out as well. And it's going to ask me why, right? No, those actually look fine. So, yep, and then again, back in the launch.json, that's where it just puts those configuration settings in. But once I get it launched, then I could, you know, go into F12 and I could relaunch the debugger. Once you've attached to that debugger process, if I actually had a little localhost running, then I could go ahead and just bounce back and forth and actually step through the code, that's fine. It does make the source maps when you are debugging locally. So if you are using Chrome or IE or Firefox, you should actually, in Chrome you could see this pretty easily. When you just go into F12, or even the new Edge, oh, I almost forgot we make that browser, right? Edge is actually pretty good at this too. So when you go into F12, it'll actually load the map. So you can see that it's loaded the map, but it'll let you walk through the .ts, right? Where IE, you might have to do a couple extra things for it. Chrome will let you do that too. It'll actually load up the maps for you. So as time goes by, you get a little more support out of the mainstream browsers as well, which is kind of cool. So they have support, a lot of tools have support, and then of course you have the standalone compiler as well. So I'm using all Microsoft stuff in here, but you can do, like JetBrains has WebStorm. That's actually a pretty good editor for TypeScript, quite frankly. There's a lot of cool stuff in there, extras and whatnot. So if you use that tool, it's pretty darn good. So other than code, I have no idea what it costs or anything like that, just that I've used it before and it's pretty good. And I think that's pretty much all I have. So again, TypeScript takes away some of the pains that we would have with JavaScript, one with managing files, especially in large teams, the continuity between other code in JavaScript, getting that all to work together. It gives us object orientation in that more consistent way with other languages as well, with easier keywords. You don't have to dig looking for, you know, define property or prototype. You just class, we're good. All right, so you can see all that stuff. So it gives us all those cool things, and it'll continue to give us those until ES6 actually becomes, you know, the standard that everyone is using and every tool has implemented and the world has gotten on board with it. Because even after the standards get solidified, then everybody's got to get on board with it. The tool writers got to adhere to the standards, right? The browsers, those people have to adhere to the standards and implement it. So until then, TypeScript is doing that job. So at some point, this is what you would be writing and calling it ES6, right? Or code that is very close to this. I'm sure they'll have some changes over time. But the code should look really, really much the same. Right. So to give us all of those good benefits to development and take away a lot of those frictions that you tend to have in JavaScript teams. So I like that. It does give us that. And if you're taking away the friction that comes with dealing with these kind of little issues, then you can focus on business problems rather than fighting with your tools and fighting with your language, right? We don't want to do that. That's why companies like Microsoft exist. That's our job to fight with those things. So you don't have to, right? It's our job to write the infrastructure code so you don't have to, so you can focus on your business problems. Unless your business problem happens to be focusing on writing these tools, right? Then you're working at Microsoft or Google, something like that. So that's all I have. I'll be up here for some questions and just meandering around the conference. So thanks for coming.